Final hours upon us. Last one of this week. We're going to finish strong. Great effort and great energy throughout the remainder of the show. Buck Rising here with you till 1 o'clock. Lucas Panzeca making everything happen behind the glass, making the show run and sound so, so smooth. You guys can get involved with the proceedings if you so choose. 615-737-1045 is the number. 615-737-1045. We're getting you ready for the Titans and the Chiefs here in Nashville on Sunday. Coach Dave McGinnis will be here in just about 15 minutes from now. So Mac will give us the X's and O's analysis that we so crave. But I want to talk a little bit about what the Titans are up against as far as these next three games and what they can do against the Chiefs. Because I've been thinking about this from a variety of different angles. And the last time that the Chiefs traveled here, week 10, 2019, Titans teetering, to put it generously, on the edge of being done for the season. Like, this was the game that saved their asses, basically. They ultimately go 9-7. They make the postseason as a wild card. They rattle through New England, Baltimore, and then end up going down to the Chiefs in a little bit of a revenge-type situation at Arrowhead in the AFC Championship game. But that Week 10 game was their sanctuary, because they went on to rattle off. That was one of their next four straight wins. They lost two to Houston and New Orleans, capped off the wild card spot with a win at Houston to end their season in Week 17. But they went into that bye week with momentum. They went into that bye week after Kansas City with confidence. They went into that bye week after the fact with belief. This is a different situation, because it feels like they've already had that moment. And I'm trying to look at this from as many different angles as humanly possible, because it feels like we've already had the AFC at large conversation. Now, this, of course, would help you, but not in the same way that helped you two seasons ago. What this would do would further entrench your spot, give you a conference win, put you in better position to continue your grasp on that third seed, as you're currently listed, and show everybody else that, yeah, you deserve to be feared. But against this Chiefs team, I've struggled going back and forth on the best way to handle them, because the conservative approach would be to say, all right, keep away. Just keep Mahomes the hell off the field. Run the ball. You have Derrick Henry. Bleed clock. Take as much time of possession as humanly possible. But in doing so, it would be my initial reaction to say, well, I don't necessarily know that that's the best game plan, because it's not like they can't come back very, very quickly and score on you again. And so at that point, you're doing yourself a disservice by limiting your possessions, limiting your opportunities to keep pace with them. Because that's what it's going to come down to. It's going to come down to who gets a critical stop, be it on third down, fourth down, or by turnover, and who is frankly just able to keep the ball up until the very end. Because I think this is going to be another one of those games. In fact, I hope it's another one of these games, because Monday was fun as hell. I'd be down for another one of those. How do you think the Titans best beat the Chiefs in this particular regard? 615-737-1045 is the number. We'll ask Coach Dave McGinnis that question coming up next. I'm undecided, because there's a part of me that says this plays directly into their strengths, but also I fear I may be doing the cowardice thing and not looking at the numbers the way that smarter people than I would, to say, or be one of those people that would have told the Bills to kick a field goal as opposed to going for it on fourth down. Even if it ends up being the wrong decision in that moment, statistically it's the right decision almost 10 times out of 10. 615-737-1045. Let's switch things up. Can't be a Friday. Can't end the week without hearing from Darrington. What's up, my guy?
What's going on? First of all, is Mr. Blackwell, is he on dope or dog food, or did he eat Chipotle thinking about giving up a first-round pick for Xavier Howard, who got exposed by the Jaguars? What they going to tell me? He quit because he don't want to be there no more? Nah, I've been watching him get torched. No, he's not worth on first round. Second, I think my homeboy got PTSD from the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
if Tennessee has a chance, do not put Harold Landry in coverage. Please do not let him cover nothing. The third string tight end for Buffalo scored him on a crossing route by just running. Harold Landry cannot cover nothing. Give him an extra large blanket, he still couldn't cover it. Then finally, I think the real best chance is the typical one that hopefully Derrick Henry can run the homeboy off the field. That's it. Other than that, I don't see him having a chance for real. And then tell Scott, if he ever comes for Lucas again, he's going to have to find me first.
Oh, okay. Rack him. Look at you. Do you like your allies?
I got no fear.
I was about to say, do you like having Darrington as an ally?
I feel much safer.
Do you?
No. I'm good with Scott. I like Scott.
Maybe you guys will elope together to Los Angeles. Who was that? I almost asked him who was that in the background, but I didn't. I think we need to get
I do not think Scott has any bad intentions, but I do feel safe with Darrington by my side.
I don't know. It turned from I love you very quickly to I'll find you, Liam Neeson style. But here's what I'll say. It's not like I don't think they have a chance. I do find it fascinating that they're 5-point home dogs. Is that just because of the secondary? I mean, it has – and uncertainty with AJ, who, God love him, is still – it's literally continuing to go through him, that Chipotle. Man, Chipotle is – at least in the state of Tennessee, Chipotle getting some real bad press here lately.
It's been 1 week.
Avoid the chicken burrito at all costs.
Is that what it was?
That's what he said.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So it wasn't that new brisket bowl.
I would be... Listen, I have no ill will against Chipotle. I understand why Titans fans might. I have seen our buddy V-Love leave horrible Yelp reviews on every Chipotle in the city because none have come forward saying that they were the ones whose chicken burrito poisoned the bowels of A.J. Brown.
Show yourselves.
Show yourselves. Cowards. Like Lucas leaving the Vols game early. So there is still enough uncertainty, even if you feel like the Titans deserve more respect coming off a win against a pretty prominent AFC opponent. They come out of that missing some pieces and dragging a leg to a degree. I would expect A.J. Brown to give it his best effort, but I do, again, think that it's going to be very much a game-time decision. Mike Vrabel will update us on that when he speaks to the media later this afternoon. I think he'll probably get to the podium around 11:45 or 12:45, 1 o'clock, so maybe that'll carry over into Blaine and Mickey as well. But for the Titans, I'm undecided on how I think they should handle this particular game plan. And because I'm undecided, we'll talk to somebody who's smarter than I am. We'll talk to Coach Mack next. All right, let's do it, shall we? Let's welcome in the man in black. Not yes. Hell yes. It is Coach Mack. Dave McGinnis of Titans Radio joins us now on 104.5 The Zone. Mack, you've done a lot of great things in your life, but that might have been one of your finest moments on Monday night in the booth.
Buck, that's very... I mean, it's a lot of fun. I've gotten a lot of play on that. I mean, across the country. But what's great about it was, as you well know. I mean, you know. I mean, our fans is the organic. And the thing about it was just so happened to be fortunate enough to be for the moment. Everything about the game as it unfolded, as it continued, the crescendo that game continued to build. It was completely a hell yes whole evening.
It gave the people, it got the people going. It had the juice that game really, I mean, the game had enough juice to go around, but Mac.
Not yes. Hell yes.
There it is.
Summed it up.
Look at him. He knows what he did. He's glowing. Coach Dave McGinnis here with us on 104.5 The Zone. All right, Mac. So this is an interesting opponent coming into Nissan Stadium. One that the Titans are familiar with, the quarterback that the Titans are familiar with. But he looks different this year, Coach. And it's not that he's not still playing at a high level, but the rate at which he's turning the ball over is very, very noticeable, clear and obvious to everybody watching Patrick Mahomes right now. Why does he look so uncomfortable in the pocket?
All right, look, I'm glad you brought this up because I just walked off the practice field to come do this radio hit with you guys. Charles Davis won 3 out of their last 4 games. And so Charles and I had a lengthy discussion on this, and he agrees with me. I don't really think Holmes is much different. Here's what's happened, Buck. A 3-3 team, a 4-2 team, a 5-1 team, it's sometimes about some bounces. If you have turnovers, you are turning them over. They've had some turnovers, you know, in the so that it's short. It's a short field for when the opponent gets the ball from you. Those types of things. I don't see much difference in this play. Here's what I see. The score has been separated from them earlier than it normally is. You understand what I'm saying with that? Because they jump out and jump on people quick. And then all of a sudden, then he can take advantage of big open windows, the whole field to him. The score gets separated the opposite way on him, and you start trying to fit those windows. And he's always reminded me. I mean, I remember when I wrote a report on him, you know, for the draft the year that he came out, you know, the next thing I wrote into the column book was, remind me of Favre at Southwest.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Favre was like that. Favre was a slinger and had a tremendous arm, could throw from launch platform, but would try to fit it anywhere that it could. And I think that's a couple of things that have happened to Mahomes. But as seeing any decline in him as a quarterback, I don't see that. I still see the same athleticism. I see the same arm strength. And see the same flexibility and capability of being able to throw anywhere on the field off of any platform.
The decline is not the word that I would use. And Mac, your phone line's not great, so Lucas is going to see if he can't fix it up a little bit for you. I think John Robinson is blocking the frequencies coming out of the practice facility. So we'll see if we can't get Mac back on a little more secure line. Get him straightened up so you can hear the analysis in full, because what Mac is saying is absolutely spot on. It's not that he's different. It's just that some of the decisions or some of the gambles that he's taking aren't necessarily going the way that we are accustomed to seeing Patrick Mahomes do. It's not like people have figured out Patrick Mahomes. It's not like his talent has depreciated, but you're seeing plays being made on throws that Patrick Mahomes has made and used to be they would catch the defense off guard. It's not like he's not catching the defense off guard anymore, but he's doing it less or at a less regular rate than he was the past couple of seasons. Coach Dave McGinnis will rejoin us. He's presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans, like an extra set of pads since 1947. They've been protecting Tennesseans since 1947. The best in the business at Farm Bureau Health Plans. All right, Mac back with us here on 104.5 The Zone. Mac, the defensive approach for the Titans against Josh Allen, they didn't bring extra rushers. They seemed pretty comfortable getting pressure with four and effectively getting pressure with four, and the coverage approach seemed to be primarily cover two and cover three behind those four-man pressures. How does that change against Mahomes, or does it need to if you can get that pressure with four?
Yeah, and they play a little bit of, you know, they also played a little bit of quarters, and they also, but anyway, that being said, what you are correct in saying is they chose not to, and they brought four-man pressure, but sometimes, Buck, they would bring nickel and drop the side off from the front, you know what I'm saying? Would look like 5-0, they'd bring the nickel and drop the guy on the opposite side off. And that being said, the key against, you know, Buffalo, and we'll put Buffalo to bed real quick, but you're talking about style play from offenses. What you've got to be able to do, especially the situation that we find our secondary with all of the injuries and going to your fourth and fifth corners, especially in your multiple defensive back sets, the thing that you've got to do, you let it go over your head, all right? The one explosive pad, what they do, that he to his hand, DB panicked. And then it went over his head. And so the thing that you have to be able to do, and the thing that's really important, is you get it. We talked about, you know, and I hope our listeners were able to hear, I talked about score separation against teams like this. If they can get score separation early, you've got problems. But the way to keep it from happening is two things. You either play the same game with your offense and are able to possess the ball and then move it, at least move it into their territory and play with scores, preferably seven, or you've got to play the game as to where you can't give them early explosives. Now, explosives, a team like this, especially, even more so, Buck, than Buffalo, explosives can come with those short throws and those instant runs because they've got a track team. That's the problem. And so I know our listeners, when they listen to broadcast, consistently teams like this, they'll hear me talk about when we're on defense, the importance of spacing and spot tackling. That has to happen.
Coach Dave McGinnis of Titans Radio here with us on 104.5 The Zone. We're breaking down the Tennessee Titans and their upcoming opponent, the Kansas City Chiefs. Of course, you can hear coverage starting with me at 9 a.m. up until kickoff with Coach Mack, Mike Keith, Amy Wells, Rhett Bryan, the whole Titans Radio crew right here on 104.5 The Zone and across the Titans Radio network. Mack, what did you see from Ryan Tannehill that changed? Or did, maybe this is the better way for me to ask you. What did you see from Ryan Tannehill in the first three quarters that wasn't bothering him in the fourth quarter? Because when he was completing 9 passes total in the first three and then rattled off 9 of 9 completions in the fourth, it seemed like he was getting more in rhythm. He seemed more comfortable. What differences were you noticing from the tape?
They got A.J. Brown cranked up.
Yeah.
You know, AJ Brown, you know, started getting the oil flowing a little bit, and it was running on all cylinders there for a while, because, you know, I mean, AJ, you know, admittedly, you know, he wasn't feeling great for 2 days going into that thing. So with all the IVs and everything else that he had to do to try to at least play in that game, he did, and the success and also the patience that they had running the football was giving you those play action, you know, those play action digs, those play action bang eights, those play action one-on-ones that Jay is so great at. And once he got oiled up, they got into rhythm pretty well. And you're right, but that to me is the biggest thing is you, and then, you know, Rooker came alive. You've got to get, you know, you talk about being insane. I know people, some say, you know, that bit of a platitude talking about the passing game, but it's a reality, and you can see it and sense it's happening. That's what was going on. They were in single coverage and they were it.
They love that play action bang concept with they did it with Corey Davis, they do it with AJ Brown. It's a really, really big staple of this Titans passing game, and it was good to see it make its we've seen it over the course of this season, but it was really in stride on Monday night. Mac, the percentage of 11 personnel that they ran against Buffalo, a lot of Derrick Henry's success on the ground came out of 11 personnel. That 76-yard touchdown run came out of 11 personnel with what Cosell described as a condensed formation to the field. 37 snaps, 73% of their offensive snaps came out of 11. How much more three wide receiver sets are they wanting to run with a more full complement of skill position players, or do you think this was a game plan specifically for Buffalo?
Well, I mean, two things about 11 personnel. You know, 11 personnel used to be just consistently a down personnel. Well, now it's 1-3. The other thing is, even when you're running 11 with condensed sets, what are doing the match when you match up with 11 and your defensive quarterback on early downs, it do have enough foot athletes to be able to stay base against it so that the run doesn't just crush me? Or can I trust these bees that I'm putting in there in the second level spots to be able to play the run if they start running? The condensed sets also do some things for you in this manner. They create more gaps, okay? So you get the matchups that you want people-wise, and plus you are still able to explode out and light box if they're going to go with 11. I think it's a personnel matchup. It's what you think going into the game as to how the defensive coordinator is going to match it early on. Because, you know, I've done it as a defensive coordinator. If I really think that receiver was going to be a threat that could just wear me out, I might stay in base a little bit or play a big nickel, you know, and still be able to force on. The thing about the Titans is, Buck, that as far as it is so to understand, that patient with the game, because you've got to be able to absorb the 3 yard, the 3 yard, the 4 yard, the minus one, the three, the four, to get this big back going and to let the offensive line, as the game flows and the course of the game starts to take off the nature that you want it to take, they can start leaning on the defense. And the personnel is just a small part of it. But the matchup part of it is what you're really looking for.
Coach Dave McGinnis, our guest here on 104.5 The Zone. Mac, I know this isn't coming through on your end, but I think that damn iOS update did something to your phone because we're having a hell of a time with it on our end. So we're going to let you go a little bit early, but enjoy the game. We appreciate you stopping by, and thanks as always for the analysis.
Well, Buck, I mean, you might blame the cloudy weather. You blame Verizon. I don't know what to blame, but it's not your and my fault.
No, I know it isn't, and I wish
Chipotle?
I could. We will blame, as A.J. Brown did after the game on Monday, we will blame Chipotle, which means we will get no sponsorship whatsoever.
We've got no sponsorship of us now. The three of us get no Chipotle sponsorship.
No chicken burritos for us, but it's okay, because Derrick Henry's got enough toilet paper. Thank you, Mac.
See ya.
Tomahawk Chop on YouTube says, is Mac on a flip phone? I'm pissed. That's one of my favorite segments of the week. What happened? What do we do? It's fine. We appreciate Coach Mack trying to make the best of it that we could. And there is some good analysis in there to be found about basically what's happening with Patrick Mahomes. And listen, the approach for this game is going to be unique, but you can feel confident in one thing in particular, and probably two. And probably three. I'll give you three things you can feel confident in. How about that? Well, should we do like a top three?
Why not four?
Why not four? No, I don't have four. We stop at three. Let's not get crazy. But the thing that I'm most confident about the Titans in on Sunday is that they have such a wealth of knowledge about this particular player, because it's not like his throws and his film and his tape hasn't been dissected, not just by the Titans and their coaching staff, but by literally everybody who studied quarterback play across the time that he's been in the league. And they have seen him and his ability and this offense specifically that they'll have to go toe-to-toe with. We haven't even talked about the defense. The defense is wretched, but that doesn't mean that you can outright sleep on them. It'll be curious to see whether Chris Jones, the defensive lineman, returns to the lineup and tries to give it a go, because their run defense without him has been really, really tough. But with Patrick Mahomes, and this was a controversial thing that came up, right? Because against the Chiefs in Week 10, remember the conversation that was being had by Wesley Woodyard? Now, Wesley Woodyard obviously has a little bit of a bone to pick with how Mike Vrabel handled things that 2019 season. But Dean Pease is calling the defense in Week 10 against the Chiefs. He's calling the defense in the AFC divisional round against the Baltimore Ravens. In the next week against the AFC championship, or in the AFC championship game against Kansas City, Mike Vrabel takes over the defense, according to Woodyard, and that's all that we can go off of at that point. It's not beyond belief that would happen, but it is interesting given the success that Dean Pease obviously has had. But there was something that Vrabel saw. There was something that Vrabel saw in that Week 10 game that allowed them to give up over 500 yards to a quarterback on a bum leg. That's the thing about this game that makes it interesting. How can Mike Vrabel go toe-to-toe with Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid? Because that's what it's going to come down to. Mike, for all of the criticism that's brought about of him, he understands this game at a different level than a lot of people. Now, you would say probably 31 other NFL head coaches understand the game at a deeper level, but there are things that Mike Vrabel does in-game that give you an advantage, that help tip the margins in your favor. You're looking at a team that's got a -8 turnover differential. It's second worst in the NFL right now. Now, the Titans have gotten their turnover problem corrected. Ryan Tannehill is not coughing up fumbles. He did have a bad interception on Monday. Oh, look at that. Teron's on SportsCenter right now. That makes me very happy to see. They're talking about the Titans and the Chiefs right now. We got ESPN on in the studio breaking down this game. But what you cannot sleep on is the amount of institutional knowledge that it seems that the Tennessee Titans have built up on the Kansas City Chiefs and on Patrick Mahomes. Now, how this changes against the Buffalo Bills, or how this changes from the game plan against the Buffalo Bills to what you see against Kansas City, particularly for the Titans offense. I don't think they're varying from what it is that they want to do. It's not like they're going to find ways to exploit the Chiefs that have not yet been exploited. Now, they might, but otherwise, the Titans defense, the Titans offensive game plan remains the same. It's running Derrick Henry. It's sticking with the run. It's creating those bang play action passes off of Derrick Henry and allowing the defense to sell out to stop him, and then Ryan Tannehill boots out to the side, makes some plays with his legs. Then you create those open throwing windows with those same play action and run action concepts that allow you to take advantage of a defense that's giving up more yards per play than any NFL defense in the sport right now. You couple that with a offense and with a quarterback that is consistently turning over the ball through 6 weeks of football. I venture to say that the Kansas City Chiefs are a very beatable team right now, particularly with the way that this Titans offense and this Titans team matches up strength on strength, strength versus weakness. Now, something that Charles Davis pointed out yesterday that I found pretty interesting, and we tweeted out this clip at Buck Rising, but he brought up a point about Mike Vrabel in the middle of that game against the Bills that kind of sets Mike apart. These moments that pop up, and they don't always get noticed, but in instances like this, they do. And you have to be very perceptive, as Charles Davis is, to be able to identify those things. How can you find ways to win within the margins, and how can the head coach be a part of that? Mike Vrabel was on Monday night. When we talked about the time expiring in the fourth quarter, as Josh Allen is getting to the line, and the Titans aren't taking timeouts, they've got timeouts at their disposal. Hell, they went into halftime with all three of their timeouts, even with 40 seconds left on the clock. And I thought that was a whole possession unto itself. But again, we're not nitpicking. We're just talking about a situation that worked in the Titans' favor. So as the seconds are ticking off the clock, and as Buffalo begins to scramble, Mike Vrabel doesn't take a timeout, and we are sitting there in the press box watching this, all lined up in a row. We've got a bunch of Titan staffers behind us, probably wondering the same thing, but just not being as vocal about it as we are, saying, Mike, the hell, take the timeout. Get your stuff together. You have a look at what they're wanting to run on offense. Now is the time for you to be able to take advantage of this. Take the timeout. And what did he do? He didn't take the timeout. He let the Bills sweat it out. He let the Bills go into panic mode. He let the Bills rush to the line of scrimmage unnecessarily because everybody knew, including Buffalo knew, what they were going to do. It's just that those extra seconds and that pressure of time ticking away put them in a more panic situation than they otherwise might have been. Now, we had people call in and tweet us earlier about, well, Josh Allen didn't slip. He ran into a wall. Yeah, okay, Jeff Simmons made a great play, but also Josh Allen slipped on the play. Like, both of those things can be so. And whether those extra seconds mattered that much or not, I mean, all you have is the result. And the result is that it worked in the Titans' favor and that they got the stop and that they looked hugely disjointed, the Bills did, while trying to get that fourth and short play off the ground. When we come up, or when we come back, rather, we're gonna do things a little differently today because it's my mom's birthday, and she doesn't know that we're gonna call her live on air, but we're gonna call my mom live on air. I haven't wished her a happy birthday yet. She's probably pissed at me right now. She may not pick up, but we're gonna call my mom. We're gonna wish her a happy birthday, and then we're gonna do the polls with her and see if this doesn't end in just complete catastrophe on a Friday. That's next. All right, it's the end of the week. Little Sunday service choir, get you a little closer to Sunday, get a little closer to your weekend, but not without us telling you thank you so much. As an audience, you guys kick ass. You guys make everything possible. This is your show. We're just the ones facilitating the stupidity between the hours of 10 and 1. So we thank you for being willing to encourage such ridiculousness. Speaking of ridiculousness, are we going to try this bit on the air? Because it's my mom's birthday. I haven't called her yet today. I've been trying to figure out how to best execute this. There's about a 99% chance that we call her on live air and she doesn't pick up, but yeah, I want to try and do this.
Let's hope she picks up. Let's go for it.
Okay, go ahead and call her. See if we can't put it on the air. I will attempt to keep her from getting us in trouble with the FCC because she's probably going to be pissed at me because it is her birthday and I have yet to call her as her only son. And so we will find out together. Whoa, there's the dial tone. Oh, we're gonna really roll the dice like this. This is super vulnerable.
She's gonna be so mad at
you. Hello.
Mom, you're on live radio, don't cuss.
I never cuss when you call.
Well, okay. I figured you might because it's your birthday and I haven't called you just yet.
Let us correct that misconception for the record. Thank you. Do you want to wish me happy birthday?
Well, yes, in fact, I would. Stephen A.
Happy birthday to
her.
I don't care. Good luck.
I take it back, Mom. I do care. I love you. Happy birthday.
Gracious as always.
What are you doing today?
Well, actually, not. I'm having coffee with friends and binge watching Doc Martin on PBS. I'm having a great day.
Okay. Well, do you want to? Are you in the middle of coffee with your friends right now, or do you have time to do a bit on the radio?
Oh Lord! All right.
All right.
Go for it.
Lucas, polls.
Stop the count. Stop the count. The polls have closed, and the votes have been tallied. It's the segment where bias takes over and nuance goes to die. Now, here's your favorite Buck Rising Show daily correspondent, Lucas Polzica.
All right, so Mom, the way this works is we do a bunch of stupid polls on my Twitter account where I spend entirely too much time. We recap the show. You're going to do it with us today, okay?
Got it.
All right, Lucas.
All right. Hi, Mrs. Rising. I'm Lucas. Buck very rudely did not introduce me.
Keep it moving.
First poll. Should the Vols start Hendon Hooker against Alabama? 70% say yes.
Mother, your thoughts.
This is so wrong to do this to me on my birthday. I have no idea who he is, although I should get points for knowing who the Vols are.
You do know who the Vols are. That's a big one. Who is the most famous quarterback that played for the Vols, Mom?
Oh, I do know that. Oh, I know it. Wait. Oh, God. He was a Colts guy.
Yeah.
Come on.
Was a Colts guy. Huge forehead. Big old forehead.
Archie is his father.
That's right.
Archie's son. Peyton Manning.
Peyton Manning.
Hey. God.
Outstanding. He's only the second most famous quarterback probably in the history of the sport, but that's all right.
I knew it.
Go ahead.
How do the Titans need to beat the Chiefs this weekend? In a shootout or just play keep away with Derrick Henry? 80% say play keep away with Derrick Henry.
Mom, do you know who Derrick Henry is?
Of course I do. I really like him.
Oh, yeah? What do you like about Derrick Henry?
Because he's so effective.
He is effective. So that's a Karen Rising vote for Derrick Henry. Henry is the NFL MVP this season, yes?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. All right. Derrick Henry... His efficiency will be required to be able to beat the Kansas City Chiefs on Sunday at Nissan Stadium. My mom's actually coming to a Titans game.
Oh, nice.
In November with some family, so that'll be a lot of fun as well. Yeah, I mean, the keep away plan with Derek, I don't think is going to be the most effective strategy. I think you got to get into a shootout with these guys and try and beat them at their own game, and also cause turnovers in the middle of that.
That was the best analysis, by the way, for Mrs. Rising that we've had in 3 hours of radio. And I'm not being sarcastic.
The best analysis that we've had since we started this radio show. She's much better at this than I am.
Who would you rather have, Xavien Howard or Kyle Fuller? 66% say Xavien Howard.
Mom, what position do you think Xavien Howard and Kyle Fuller play?
I'm struggling to think of anything other than quarterback. So
okay, so name another position other than quarterback.
Defensive end.
No, incorrect. They play cornerback, but it was a good guess. Same side of the ball.
Yeah.
Same side of the ball. I would say Xavien Howard for the price point and the effectiveness because Kyle Fuller getting benched in Denver. I need to know more about that situation before I give up draft picks for him.
Okay, have you ever had food poisoning for an entire week? Maurice says, hell yeah, I had it last week after my vacation in PCB. Kenneth says, unfortunately, yes. Karen says, never have had food poisoning. This is another Karen.
Not our Karen.
In the Twitter, yeah. Michael says, yes, it was horrible. Had it my last week at the police academy. Let's just say I was praying the whole time during our final obstacle course test.
Oh God. So we're asking this, Mom, because one of the Titans wide receivers has had food poisoning from Chipotle for a week. You have done much international travel in your lifetime. I'm not going to ask you for specific details because I don't want to further embarrass you on your birthday. But what country have you been in? What continent have you been on that caused you the most issues with food?
Africa.
Which country in Africa specifically?
Well, you do know that Egypt is in Africa, right, Drew?
I do know. I do know that Egypt is in Africa. That's correct.
All right. Well, that's your. There you go.
The place of my youth, the place of my birth, my origins. Indeed. Yeah. No, the street meat in Egypt, probably questionable. You don't know whether it's lamb, cow, camel, or anything in between. What else, Lucas?
What bad football game, college or pro, are you hate watching this weekend? The majority of this is just Vols fans that are going to be hate watching Alabama beat Tennessee this weekend. Kenneth does say Jets-Patriots. Watching what Belichick does to rookie quarterbacks, and especially Jets quarterbacks, is always fun to me. For me, it's Ravens-Bengals. I'm not even hate watching. I think it's just going to be a good game.
No, I think that's spicy, especially after the Browns got a win last night. That division's pretty interesting. Mom, how many football games a year are you watching now, given that I work in sports?
I only watch the Titans and our local high school football team, but I do want to know which team that really cute coach who's in the Aflac commercials with the Alabama coach. Who does he coach for?
Deion Sanders?
He's a doll.
Yeah, sure. Coach Prime. Well, I mean, Deion Sanders was probably in, I'm not going to age you, but Deion Sanders was probably around the same time as you would have been in college. Do you have zero memories of primetime, Coach Prime, at Florida State?
Of course not. But who does he coach?
He coaches Jackson State
in Mississippi.
Jackson State. It's a historically black college. He's one of the most famous people in all of football, and he went back to a historically black university to try and revive a football program there.
See, I knew I liked him. I like him.
Okay. All right. Well, apparently Deion Sanders is a doll. Also great analysis for my mother.
How often do you get a haircut? This comes, Mrs. Rising, because Buck has gotten two haircuts this week, one on Monday and one today, which is just absolutely ridiculous. Austin Stanley says the plan is every 3 weeks. The schedule usually makes it 4 to 5 weeks. Lebowski says 4 weeks. Travis Haney just says when it's time. I like that answer. For me, it's like every 3 months.
I got a haircut on Monday, and I got a haircut this morning, Mom.
Well, you don't have enough to do. Really?
I know. It takes like an hour every time I'm in the barber chair. Yeah, listen, it's not just game day for the players. It's game day for me, too. I'm allowed to look nice.
All right. Well, you know, can we end this torture for me?
You know what? Why don't we do that? Happy birthday, Mom. I love you. I'll call you later.
Thank you, boys. Gentlemen, I should say.
Happy birthday, Mrs. Rising.
Get her out of here. My mom's going to go hit on Deion Sanders after this.
Last one of the day. What was worse, Joe Milton running out of bounds against Ole Miss or Garantano going rogue against Bama? 52% say it was Milton, but the comments are spicy.
Yeah, I would say that that's probably a question that Vols fans are going to be pondering late into the night on Saturday, because I don't know that Alabama is going to go so smoothly for them. You know what is going to go smoothly? Blaine and Mickey. They're next.